My same friend that was setting up the event that was on acid, as the parents are leaving, they're carrying their kid, and they walk by him, and he goes, "Hey, was there any damages to the bike bar?" And they go, "Well, we had to like pry it with this bar, but like not really. He's like, "We don't think so." And he's like, "Oh, no, okay." He's like, "I'll take a look at it, but I'll probably be contacting you later. So if there's damages, we can get that figured out." And I was like, savage, savage, dude. Whoa, pretty intense. There she is. What's up, everybody, and good morning. Some N2O diesel from Green Dot Labs. A very orangey, little bit of Skittles, gasoline terp there. Been wanting more terps lately, and I'm finding that a lot of the hash is tasting the same. That could be a regional thing. I often find that in areas, sometimes what happens as the dispensary and cannabis culture ages, sometimes you get this weird plateaus of terpene profiles where for periods of time, a lot of the hash will taste kind of similar or just be like similar notes as the common or popular strain at the time. The hash is wonderful and it's good, but the variety doesn't seem like what it quite used to be. Then again, I really only buy stuff that's really gassy or like OG dominant or like, you know, kind of those heavy fuel terps, but that's what I like. And the variety of those seems to maybe be getting slim. Maybe most normal people or average smokers like the more citrus or berry or whatever. But I like a good old burnt rubber dumpster gasoline jet fuel terpene. Something that you wouldn't normally be able to smoke. But man, welcome to today's episode. We're going to look at a couple cool pieces. We're going to smoke some fun flavors of hash, and we're going to catch up. But first, look at this little cap here. Not reinventing the wheel at all. But what's special about this cap is that we're trying to think, hey, have the bubble caps become outdated that come with all of our pieces? Should all of our pieces come with a new style cap? So we're prototyping and testing different caps right now. I'm using them daily. Doing the normal formula that I do when I was making the new Puffco product. Solely smoked that shit for like a month to figure out the pros and the cons to the design and what I'd want to improve and change. Doing the same thing with carb caps now, trying to find what is the next cap that should be coming with our pieces, or should it continue to be our traditional bubble cap, which we've put so much time and years into, and they're really a great product. However, how many people are using a traditional now? Or a lot more people using a high surface area now, like a Slurpee or a Slurper or Control Tower or a Blender, whatever you want to call them. There's a million names for that style now. So, yeah, trying to figure out what is the next cap that we should be offering with our pieces. My wife had an idea to basically at checkout on our website have the option between a bubble cap or this solid Slurpee cap that looks like our bubble caps. Because this is not hollow. This is a completely solid piece of glass. I love the way it feels, too, because it's just so heavy and solid. But she's like, that way, someone can pick either or. Like, they come with the piece, but would you want the bubble cap or do you want the Slurpee cap? So if y'all want to leave any suggestions in the comments, please do. I will look at them and, like always, take into consideration and translate that into the work to make the best product I can for y'all. And for me, because I smoke this shit all day. But man, that N2O diesel from Green Dot, that has been a good one lately. Like, Skittle gasoline. It is Rapture times Rainbow Belts. Rapture is like a sour diesel strain. I think it's crossed to like some grapes or something. Rainbow Belts, I don't know. That's popular right now, though, for sure. They describe this terpene as laughing gas and sour. I get a very much like diesel with Skittles. Diesel with a little bit of orange terpene profile to it. We have been so busy over here, and I am so fucking grateful. Seriously. We have been fulfilling some orders for some stores and working on our Sunday sales stuff, though, but I've been working with my team, some of the guys here for 6 years, some of them only a couple years, but we're starting to really figure out a rhythm where we are able to accomplish goals. And it's, I don't want to jinx us because it's only been a couple days of it really feeling like that after years. But like, yeah, I think I'm really figuring out like where everyone's strengths are. Cause I'm finding now as a leader of the team and what we're working on, it's not so much about making sure everyone can do exactly what I'm doing and be just as proficient and whatever with it. It's actually more about figuring out what everybody's good at and manipulating myself so that I fulfill wherever they're lacking so that we can accomplish and everyone can do the best at what they're best at. So being a leader isn't always being like the person that everyone has to be like. Sometimes you, as a leader, you have to adjust and manipulate the way you fit into a scenario so that everyone around you and on your team can thrive and do their best. Truly just a tool to help connect all the links that are, you know, individually powerful. And when combined, they make a very strong chain. So, you know, we're working on that. And I'm proud of my guys. We're, even though we lost Brandon this year because he moved back to Texas or whatever, like, it's definitely been extra workload on everyone. And we've all, like, kind of had to pick up and figure out, like, a way to balance and manage losing, having someone that, you know, was part of the team that moved on. Yeah, but we're figuring it the fuck out. And it's pretty cool. And don't get me wrong, I have lots of people who reach out and send, we get applications weekly for people who want to come work with Bear Mountain, but I'm still trying to just figure out how to work with the boys I got here and make sure I'm doing the best for them and giving them the best space they can work in before I bring a new person into the family. Obviously, I want to grow to that and get more people in here, but, you know, with time. It's pretty cool being a glassblower, though, I'll tell you what. I appreciate it more and more the more time I spend with other parents, because, you know, when you have a kiddo, you end up hanging out with parents that you wouldn't normally hang out with. We've talked about this before. But when I get to spend time with these people, I realize a few things. I realize that, like, I'm really immature and never going to grow up. And I realize that it's, like, how special it is that I get to, like, do this for a living. Regardless if some days are harder than others, this is a very special and unique thing I get to do. The fact that I'm sitting here right now making a podcast, sharing, you know, kind of thoughts and experiences with all of you folks who like to support, like, that's pretty cool. Like, yeah. Well, the team has been crushing. So, yeah, I just ripped this fucking huge, like, XL bloop hammer. Now I have the bloop RBR. They, when I say bloop, like, they definitely bloop. The terp hammers bloop harder. I can make these things bloop super slow, but I like the faster bloop because it makes a more aggressive drain. If the bloop is too slow, then the drain gets less aggressive. I think what it does is it slows down the vacuum, like, process that starts happening as the water starts flowing. Like, I think if the water's unable to drop here a little bit, if it gets held here too much, then it affects that aggressive, at least the speed of the vortex it affects, I would say. Because less water is coming back up quick enough for it to pump it. But yeah, I like these little bit bigger cuts on my bloop discs. But yeah, these new RB... I mean, I've only ever dropped a couple of these bloop RBRs. We just did our Sunday sale, and a whole army of people grabbed the bloop peak top that we were talking about last episode. Super grateful for all the support. People really like those perks. So I'm going to do some of the bloop RBRs. I was thinking about like making like a nano bloop, like a 10 mil nano bloop, which I think will be really cool. So it's smaller format. So extra shreddy, like tiny and technical, you know what I mean? Sometimes like the funnest pieces are like those little pieces that you hold and you can see like all the like technical actual like design in it, not so much the color work or anything. I'm talking about purely like welds and cold work, and it had to be done like cuts and stuff like that. The real machining behind it, the precision. And I'd say that, like, truly, when you're judging something from the outside, if you're not a glass blower yourself, you're just someone who appreciates the art or someone maybe has never seen it. Humans can appreciate precision. There's a reason when we go to ancient sites and we see the Great Pyramids of Giza, we see like the pillars of Göbekli Tepe, we go all over South America and see what the Inca, the Maya did. The reason we're so amazed by it and love to look at it and talk about maybe aliens did it or something is because we're obsessed with precision. We love that. Precision can be appreciated no matter if you can even know what you're looking at. You can tell if something's precise. You can tell if something has had time and thought put into it. The engineering behind it, you can appreciate it, especially if you played with Legos as a kid. You can appreciate the engineering and the precision behind things. So when you have a really small piece of glass that's highly precise with really intricate machining, that's fucking cool. And when it's glass. I mean, when we were growing up, the only type of glass you had in your house was like cups or vases, right? Maybe a candy dish. But what a cup, a vase, a candy dish, a plate, what all those have in common is they're actually essentially the same vessel. There's something with a bottom and walls. But these vessels that we make, they're a bottom, a top, internal work, welded in multiple spots. It's not just like this cup. There's so much happening inside functional glass art. I'm not talking about just my work. I'm talking about our community as functional glass artists, people who spend time making pipes. People who spend time making, and there are really crazy functional cups out there, but that community is even smaller. There's a few dudes that make really crazy, intricate cups that are not just a bottom and some sides, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, like, I think that there's a lot of artwork nowadays that probably won't be appreciated to its fullest until many years down the road, maybe when, you know, people don't make this type of stuff anymore, who knows? There's a lot of famous art that wasn't appreciated in its time. It was appreciated after the fact. There's artwork out there that was looked at as profanity, or was looked at as like, what's the word that describes like when it's like negative against the church or whatever. But either way, that's the word that I'm trying to remember. But there's a lot of artwork out there that was like, people at the time were like, that's horrible, that's horrific, that's negative, it's pornography or whatever. They would hate on it. And then decades later, if the artist is either dead and gone or, you know, culture has moved forward, it becomes, you know, special and unique, or people appreciate it, or they see it in a different light. And I find that glass art, I think this is going to be one of those art forms that in the future, they're going to look back at some of this work that thousands of us have done over the last, you know, 20, 30 years, especially in the modern pipe art scene. And I think it's going to be adored in a way where people are like, this is so unique that this is something that had like this boom that happened. I still think the scene will be around, but it's always going to adapt and change. For all I know, we're going to put on giant like e-rig suits and float around and smoke through our suit. I don't know what we're going to be doing. Like, I didn't see the Puffco coming. I didn't see any of that happening. I'm over here ripping nails. I did an episode that was all Puffcos last week. That was the only time I've ever done anything like that. I'm usually smoking a nail. Like, so I'm smoking like a caveman now, even though a few years ago I was like in the future, because people would see like a Slurpee or something like, what kind of fucking nail is that? And now this has become like almost archaic because of all the e-rig sensation. Things move so quickly through culture and through society and just how we do things. It's crazy, dude. If you're just smoking hash all day, fucking staring at fire and listening to Ancient Aliens, one day you wake up and you're like, whoa, dude, what happened? Oh, it's so crazy. It's got to be crazy for, I feel like that's like the experience of anyone who starts getting age, right? Like, especially like folks that are maybe in their 70s or 80s, they're probably like, what the fuck happened, dude? One day I was just running around, now I'm like old and don't know what's cool. I think that's one of the coolest things. I was like starting to not realize what's cool or relevant. Being completely disconnected from like what's cool. Not understanding words when you hear kids talking around you. It's honestly pretty cool. I don't hate it. I'm like, this is sick. This is like now just justifies how I've always felt. I've always felt like an old person. Now I am. I did it. Not old. I think my age is pretty young, but still, like, just having the experience of not understanding what's cool or relevant is a cool experience. That's all I'm trying to say. All right, I want to rip the blue Barbie R. Going to hit some Sour Animal from Green Dot. Sour Animal terpene profile is animal, crackers, and fuel, which is really accurate, honestly. And it's a cross of Sour Diesel and Animal Cookies. Shit's kind of loud. Move this a little bit away from the mic. Yeah, I have a bunch of new projects right now that I'm working on that I'm very excited to share. Besides all the big wholesale stuff we've been working on and Sunday sales, the fall time is going to be pretty crazy. We're going to have our end of the year big pre-sale we do in November, and that's basically the pre-sale where we put up our entire catalog of things that you would never normally see in clear. That's when the Bloop RBRs go up in clear only once a year. And it's a way for people to be able to get any crazy functional I make, but get it in the clear format so you see all that function, but also the clear formats are like half the price of a full color version, or less than half the price in most cases. They're significantly more affordable because they're made from a more affordable material, which is clear glass. So that translates into the price. But the end of the year clear pre-sale, I always see people buying like multiple pieces on that. That's like, I have a lot of people that wait for that each year, just so they can get like a flavor pack of all different functionals. We'll have all the nanos on there, everything. It'll be crazy. That's in November though. This year we're going to do it early November though. So that way we have time to fulfill those orders before Christmas. Typically we would do our big end of the year pre-sale in December, and then people aren't getting pieces by Christmas. We're going to switch it up this year and do it in November so that we can get people's pieces of them before the holiday. And then what we'll do for December is we'll just do some really fun, unique, full color drops. I'll probably do some really, really like elite limited stuff. That way it's like, you know, big bang end of the year. These are some of the projects I'm talking about. That's why I'm talking about this, because some of the pieces I'm working on right now, I'm going to work on for the next couple months, and then probably promote them in a way where I save them for a special end of the year. Maybe we could even do a like possibly in-person drop or something. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it all out, but working on some cool things. It's crazy. This year is just flown by. You know, last year we were just getting into the new studio and I was still dealing with all the code enforcement and county shit. The year before that, we were in the process of building this place and moving our studio from the home to here. And this is our first full year in here. And it's been good. It's definitely, I definitely haven't made as much glass as I should have this year. I spent time doing that remodel. I expanded the business this year. And so I spent time doing that, and I definitely spent more time with my daughter, which, very worth it. Very worth it. But coming up on the end of the year here, it's pretty wild how much glass I'd have to make to catch up to even last year. And even last year was less glass than the year before. And it's crazy how much glass I made in my house. When I was working from home, I would like fucking sleep 3 hours a night, crawl out to the studio, crawl back to the show. Like, I didn't have to drive anywhere, so I could literally just be on the torch all the time. And when you do that 7 days a week for a year, that shit adds up. It's like little improvements every day kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, even if you only made one extra piece of glass a day, if you did that every day for 7 days, every day for a month, every day for a full year, well, now that's a lot of extra pieces. And it adds up. So it's crazy just how much more limited my glass has become. I don't even think people realize that, really. I don't think they realize how much less glass I've been putting out. Which is funny, because I've like built this giant studio. I think I'd have like fucking 10 times the glass. You would think there'd be a fucking mountain of it. But these bigger studios are truly a labor of love, just like any small business. If you opened a restaurant or a retail space, a lot of your day isn't always spending making products or something. Sometimes you're just trying to like clean up the building or organize things or just keep your space like nice that you've invested in, you know? I'm learning a lot. I feel like Dude, I'm gonna know so much by the time I'm 40, but then I'll probably be 40 and be like, I know nothing. All right, so this is the Power Slurpee from Evan Shore. Extra thick, skinnier now. Really like it. Holds heat well. And then on the 10mm Blue Bar BR, this is the first Blue Bar BR. This is the personal one. Ooh, this temp looks fun. Ooh, that was nice. Wow. Animal cracker gas all day. Wow, that was a great time. I love these thicker nails for that reason. You can hit them a little low, but you'll get like a real nice dense cloud. And I'm sure I've touched base on it before in the podcast, but sometimes when you like hit any rig, whether it's an E-rig or hitting a nail, if it's too, like, if it's not dense enough of a cloud of smoke, you like cough harder. I don't know what that is. Like, I cough way less if the cloud's like dense and concentrated and gets into me like quicker and efficiently than if I'm pulling forever with like a not dense cloud. I don't know how to explain it. I just cough more. I like it better when it's nice and thick and a nice dense cloud. Just better experience all around. Wow. So excited. It's starting to cool down a little bit. Maybe not where you are, but where we are here in Colorado, the temperatures are starting to get way better, and that's so much nicer for blowing glass. Guys, blowing glass is like one of those jobs that it's like roofing. It's going to be hot regardless, but it's less hot and more enjoyable when it's not in like direct sun or when it's not like in 100 degree weather. Like, yeah. So we're like, I just can tell because my guys are just seem like they're already like, when it's really hot, you like don't want to be on your torch. You kind of avoid it. And when it's like nicer, more comfortable, you're like, you're fine being on your torch. You're like, sick, dude, I feel good. It's just enjoying it. Been enjoying the weather lately. I'm getting super excited for the fall time. I hope that I can really try to enjoy this winter more. Gosh, I say that every year and I just end up working like an animal still. But maybe that's what I need to do to know that everything's a choice, right? Maybe you have to be like, oh, I hope I can travel more this year. And then if you don't travel at all, but you worked really hard, you can justify, hey, I made a choice. You don't have to be confused, like, what happened? You can be like, well, I said I wanted to travel more, but then I ended up choosing to work more. So that's why I didn't travel more. God, dude, this is some dumb conversation, but it's my brain right now, dude. That fucking sour animal, holy fuck, that is so good. I love anything with sour in it. It's the full flavor, dude. You get it all. Get the gas, the sour, whatever, maybe a little bit of sweet or a little bit of pastry in there. It's just the best. Yeah. And the Blue Bar BRs, definitely... the one I smoke the most lately, just because it's my shop rig and I've been at the shop more than I've been home. Essentially, I live here at the shop and I just sleep at my house. If, like, that's why, like, I really do want to get a fucking couch for my Terp Fort so that, you know, on the weekends I can be like, tell the wife, like, I'm going to sleep at the shop and work like crazy. She won't be stoked on that, but I would be. It sounds fun to me. I used to love fucking playing World of Warcraft for crazy hours and just like passing out in your chair, then waking up and keep playing like really gross shit, dude. Like, I used to love that though. Speaking of, my fucking wife just reactivated our fucking World of Warcraft accounts. Pretty cool, dude. It's always fun when she does it every couple of years. She'll just turn them back on for a couple months and we'll just run around and have some nostalgia, do some quests together while we smoke weed. It's very chill. When the kid falls asleep and you're like, oh dude, it's time to fucking smoke some weed and play some video games. That's the best. Like, I couldn't do that for years because I was working every second of the day at my house. Now that I work here, when I leave, the work is done. So it's kind of, that's kind of a cool thing too, is that, like, you know, spending more time with my wife as well. So that's why there's less RBRs. But I think it's all for a reason. Oh my god, these little fucking Dukes. I don't know if you guys have seen these yet, but these little dry pipes are super fun. And People have been scooping them. I can't believe it. I'm honestly, like, stoked how stoked people are. And, like, I wish I had a Cavalier in here because they match the Cavalier really well, because, like, this little shot glass looking front part is, like, the same bucket on the Cavalier where we drop, like, a Dewar into it. Like, a lot of people are just, like, would probably just shape a joint, right? But the reason these are really cool and special and more work is because we're dropping a Dewar in there instead of just shaping a joint off of it. It gives it a totally different profile and kind of a really cool, like, precision scientific look with the actual, like, floating joint in there. And it sticks to how we do, like, Dewars in a lot of pretty much all the rigs. You know, everything's a Dewar. That's kind of one of the staples to Bear Mountain. I've been doing that for many years. It's just really cool to see it translated into a simple little dry piece like this. You know, this is like the type of thing that really almost reminds me of like those little metal pipes, like the old construction workers and shit would smoke back in the day that they'd make out of like little brass pieces of pipe or bolts and stuff like that. But it's like a more modern take. And being the really bright colors and stuff, that's like the thing with glass as opposed to ceramic, wood, or bone. Glass, you can have these colors. It's just, if you want to be really stony and philosophical about it, it's pretty cool to be able to hold something that's able to harness like these types of like colors and like reflect the light in a certain way. It's just, it's a unique thing. It would be, if you never knew what a pipe was and you were an archaeologist and you dug something like this up, you would treasure it. You'd be like, this is just the way it feels. You don't need to smoke it. Fuck that. Like, you just found this thing. This could be like a component or a little pew, 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 pew. Like, I don't know. Like, whatever it is. The point is we appreciate precision as humans. That's all I'm trying to say. That's the lesson in fucking today's episode. We humans appreciate precision. Make sure this is not... Okay. Just always, you know, when you have kids and your phone's going off, you just got to make sure everybody's okay. Because I can ignore most stuff, but if that's the babe, no way. I'm going to rip the fucking Duke dry since we're sitting here talking about it. Because I want to now. Like, I hope someday there's, like, an even smaller, like, simple on-the-go e-rig. Like, it'd be sick if someone made, like, like just on like a little 10 mil joint and you could just like set it in there and oh, there's someone outside. Who that? What are they doing? It's walking around. Guys, there's someone outside my window. I don't know what they're doing. But all right, whatever. Either way, let's ignore it. All right, he's still walking. Hopefully the boys locked the front door. I'm always sketched out, dude, with people. Was like they're up to no good. They're trying to get me. That's what happens if you've taken too many dabs. I'll tell you right now. Oh, I hear him. Maybe it's my neighbor talking to someone. It's fucking dog barking. Oh yeah, I did too much. It's fucking Wednesday. Let's go. Just went out to Brecky with my wife. Got some fucking waffles and shit. It was awesome. But I'll tell you what, I'm not used to eating the heavy, sweeter foods in the morning, and I feel like more messed up from that than I do the dabs. I got like a fucking carb headache. Maybe this next dab will soothe all of it. But yeah, the dries are kind of like, it takes a special breed to smoke a dry pipe, I'll tell you what. Because the consequences of fucking up your temperature are heavy. I mean, it's one thing when you take too hot of a dab on a rig with water in it. But you take an improper temp dab on a fucking dry pipe, you might have a bad day. Or, yeah, a really exciting day. I don't know. It depends how you take it. Most people that get too high, they have a anxiety-ridden panic attack where they're like, I'm not smoking anymore. They don't feel good. Some people don't. I'm a little both. For me, it really depends how the day's been going. And today's been feeling good, so we're smoking hash. I smoke more hash when I'm having a good day, I'll tell you what. If I'm having an off day, I'm definitely not as inclined to smoke as much hash. I'll just work extra hard if I'm having an off day. Like, you know, that angry, like, focused, head to the ground, just working. I don't even need weed, dude. I'm I don't need anything. I'm upset. You know what I mean? One of those types of attitudes. Oh, you know what I should have done? I should have got my dab on a dabber before I put this on here. So one thing. They stand on their own, but with one of these big old slurpers, they ain't gonna stand with that. Sour animal again? No. Maybe some Dolly. Sounds pretty good. And we're also gearing up to announce our first class here, which is pretty cool. And it's going to be our trial run to see how we want to do this. And then we're also going to start, after we do this first class, once we figure out the format, after we do that, then we're going to start recording certain ones and offering basically like an educational tier on our Patreon where we'll have, you know, glass blowing lessons, live glass blowing stuff, and just things related to learning how to do glass art stuff, which I think will be good for someone. Even if someone doesn't have a torch, if they're just interested, like if you like grew up like me, like watching like shows like How It's Made, or just watching anything where you're like learning about the manufacturing process or how things work, like the real thing is just figuring out how to format it so that it's like, you know, entertaining for people to watch too. You know, that's where friends and help comes in though. So with these dry dabs, I like to take them even a little lower than like a normal, because you're going to get the smoke, dude. You're going to get it. It's going to happen for sure. Oh, yeah. That's perfect. Oh! I'll tell you what happened there. Was it the weed? There was a little alcohol in that neck, for sure. I should have blew the neck out a little bit more. So that first hit was a little hit of alcohol vapor. Got me. But the hash was good. Hash came in strong after. Very strong. Wow. Whoa. I'm so good at dry dabs by like 3:30. After I've taken like 20 regular dabs, and I've had like 5 coffees that day, and I'm like dying from heat exhaustion, and I pound a water, I'll do an aggressive ass dry dab video and post it on Instagram. And people will be like, I don't know how you do that. And I'm like, well, let me tell you, I'm numb at this point, dude. Long day of working. I've been here for fucking 10, 12 hours already by that point. You know, getting in those early days. It's so funny how much my schedule has shifted over the years, where I used to work to 3 in the morning or 4 in the morning every night. Now I leave to go to work at 3 or 4 in the morning every day. I like the switch up. The late night stuff was fun for a while, but enough's enough. Now I sleep when it's like dark out and I'm awake before the sun comes up. Also, working like sunrise to sunset is kind of cool. I don't know why. I feel like a pirate when I do that, but I don't know what that means, you know? I don't know what that means, but okay, I took a dry dab, that's what happened. Now I'm feeling a little funny. I feel a little silly. Ooh, oh my god, dude, that shit, let me tell you. Ooh, the other day, I went to a friends and family party at a beautiful venue that doesn't typically let children in. So it was very nice that they were allowing children that day, because being a parent, we can't go to things unless our daughter can go. Because we don't really have babysitter and stuff, and we don't have family here in town, so it's a challenge. Luckily, she was invited, which means a lot of other people got their kids invited too. So we go to this friends and family event, this beautiful private garden thing, and it was really awesome. Whole thing's going great. Our bunch of friends are there. The wives have got the kids. So I was like, oh, totally chill time to eat some mushrooms. Totally chill. So ate like only like 2.5 grams of mushrooms. Not like a ton. Not like a ton. Like enough to be like, okay, everything's moving and people have multiple layers to their face, but everyone's having fun. Well, and I got to wear sunglasses the whole time because it was outside. That's the only reason. I would have only eaten like 2 grams if I had to be indoors with regular glasses. But like since I got to put sunglasses on, I was like, oh, I can get a little bit weird. So great event. I brought some food because everyone had to bring a dish and put it on the table so that we could all share. Just great. I loved it. Great idea. Everyone had a great fucking time until this one point where a very small child, maybe 4 years old, there was a bar there, right? And the bar was an antique bicycle. And this kid put his finger where the chain and the sprocket was and moved it, and his finger got caught inside in between the sprocket and the chain, all pinched. So my daughter, before we knew what was going on, we were not near where this happened. We were kind of like a little farther away from it at a gazebo. And she's like, Daddy, I need some water. So I was like, let's go get some water, babe. So we walked to the water area where the bike bar was. And there's a huge crowd of people and everyone's in the way. And I'm just like, excuse me. And me and my daughter are pushing through, and we just walk through this crowd of people, not realizing that everyone's crowded around this little boy. And, you know, totally unaware. And then I get her water, and then I hear screaming, and I hear a dad being like, don't move it forward, you're going to sever the finger. And I just, like, turn, and I just see, like, a lot happening. And here's what, okay, so let me say first, little kid ended up being okay. We didn't lose the finger. A little squish, you know, when you like pinch your finger in a door or something, little bruise, little squish, little blood blister. I think the dude's going to be just fine. He won't touch bikes there next time. Safe way to learn a lesson. We did it. But the noises the child was making and the parents screaming and crying, and someone's like, I'm a paramedic. And then I didn't know if I was supposed to yell, like, I'm a glassblower. I didn't know if we were like yelling our professions. I was on mushrooms. So I'm like, how can I help? And then I look and I'm like, is this like a hero moment? And I look, and there's five adult men around this child. And the way the bar is positioned, no other adult men could fit around this child. So I was like, hey, this is purely mechanical and functional. I can't fit. You can't fit another crane around that there hole. I can't help. So me and my daughter, I was like, let's go, honey. She's like, what's going on over there? I was like, I don't know. They'll figure it out. And as I'm walking out of this gazebo where this is all happening, everyone's screaming, there's like people running, calling 911. It was a lot. I see my friend walking by who set up this entire event. It's his event. He did acid that day. And he sees all this happening, and he just turns his head and walks the other way. I was like, yes. I was like, exactly. And he said the same thing to me. He's like, dude, there's five adult men around that. He's like, they don't need my help. I'm gonna get in the way, dude. You can't fit another man. Me and my boy are thick too. Like, you can't, like, and both of us being on mild psychedelics, I don't want to judge what he did, but it was mild enough that he was communicating and running an event, but not, you know, whatever. We're just gonna get in the way. And then I walk up back to where my wife and all of our friends are, and they're like, oh my God, is he all right? What's happening? And I was like, oh, this is a little boy with his finger stuck in there. And my wife looks at me. She's like, did you help? Did you do anything? And I'm like, dude. I was like, I couldn't fit, first of all. And second of all, I got to watch our child. Like, what if she got her finger stuck in something because I went to help? No. Oh, my God. It was crazy. I was down to help. Here's the thing. If it was just me standing there staring at a child that got his finger stuck in an object, absolutely, I'd be right there helping. Okay, we're gonna have to do, let's do it. We gotta make a little diagram here. That's the kid, all right? Here's the kid, okay? Here's the bicycle, okay? There's a wall behind the bicycle. One adult male. Another adult male. Another adult male. Another adult male. Another adult male. Watering hole. I'm right here with my daughter. Happening. I can't fit. I can't help. Should I say, Dad, move? I'm a glass blower. Everyone move. Get out of the way. I'll get the finger out. My wife insisted I help. Like, what the fuck? I think I made the best decision. I think that staying out of the way while they... And then as we're walking away, they're like, they got his finger out. And everyone's like, woo. And they canceled the 911 calls. You know, they got ice on it. Oh, my God, dude. And then this is probably the best part of the story. My same friend that was setting up the event that was on acid as the parents are leaving, they're carrying their kid, and they walk by him, and he goes, "Hey, was there any damages to the bike bar?" And they go, "Well, we had to like pry it with this bar, but like not really. He's like, "We don't think so." And he's like, "Oh, no, okay." He's like, "I'll take a look at it, but I'll probably be contacting you later. So if there's damages, we can get that figured out." And I was like, savage, dude. Whoa. Pretty intense. Whoa. But, you know, I was almost like, wow, dude, I almost admired it. I was like, that ability to be honest and businesslike, like that, at that level, to me, I would just be like, "Oh my God, guys, I'm so sorry. Like, I hope, let me know if he's okay, if you need anything, like give me a call." And then if there was damages, I would just be like, "All right, Cass, so I guess we're gonna have to work extra hard because we got to pay for this bullshit." But the way he did it was so honest. And I think he wasn't trying to be like mean or anything. He was very just like, "This is what's going on." Like, and the kid shouldn't have got his finger stuck in there. And I'm like, yeah, but little boys just fucking, they're just fucking playing with shit. He was admiring the precision, okay, of the bike. He was admiring the precision of the gear and the chain. He was admiring the strength of each link connected. And he was like, "Wait, am I just a link in the human chain? I need to put my finger in there now." And then he got his finger stuck. That's what I would see, you know? But like, my friend lives in reality. Well, he was on acid. But, you know, either way, kind of reality. Whatever that reality is. I don't know. I ate mushrooms. It's probably different. Oh, man, what a fun friends and family party, though. Besides that happening, super fun fucking time. And that was like a 10-minute thing that happened. That was like done and over with. And then we were back to just chilling. It was very cool. And like, I learned a lot that day. I was like, damn. Don't let your kid go near bike chains. Those are dangerous. First of all, I should have known that though. I had a GT dyno growing up. You know how many times I got fucked up by pegs and chains? My God, dude. I got so hurt on bikes all the time, and I wasn't even someone who... I was skateboarding and snowboarding. That was my thing. I only, like... So where I lived in upstate New York, we had a huge mudslide in our area, and it, like, took out houses and shit, and then all the mud hardened, and they didn't move it. They just left it. They were like, "Sick. We'll just leave the houses in the mud. Whatever." So we had this whole area at the bottom of this mountain that, like, went through, like, some houses and, like, all this property, and it was big. It was, like, a large area, maybe, like, 10 football... maybe, like, 10 football fields, like, pretty big. It was at least probably, like, 6 to 8 acres, and it was all, like, huge mounds of, like, clay and, like, different-shaped clay structures, because when the mudslide came down, the way it, like, hardened and whatever, it was, like, a big BMX course, dude. Like, everything was, like, a dirt jump. Like, but big ones, small ones, they had, like, roll-ins and cool shapes. So the clay got all, like, after it hardened, it sat there for a decade or two before we even biked on it. So it was, like, basically, like, concrete. I wish I played with, like, really nice RC cars then. It would have been a sick place to just, like, take a sick little RC truck and, like, launch it and rage around with it. Like, it was just, but that's where I would only ever BMX there. And it was just fun because it was, like, really cool looking. And the lines were really fun there. You could pump through a bunch of, like kind of like snake runs and rolling hills, because everything was covered in this clay that hardened, and it like it went over everything and just made crazy shaped mounds and hills and like little quarter pipes and like full like bowl areas where it like settled in an area and became turned into a big bowl, like, and then just over time with rain and everything got like really smooth and nice, and it was like this mud concrete fucking bike park. And then there was abandoned houses with clay all the way up into the second floor and shit. You can go up through them and fuck around in them. I don't know. It was cool. Yeah, there's a lot of abandoned shit in upstate New York like that. It's one of those states that you, like, a lot of people don't realize how big New York is and how much is going on. Or how much history is there anyways. It's fucking wild. Yeah, but I'm excited to keep sharing all the different glass stuff I've been working on with you guys. Make sure you check out the Instagrams and stuff. That's where, you know, we're doing a lot of things, but we're going to, like I said, going to start moving by the beginning of next year, start moving content towards that Patreon and stuff, just because Instagram has become very difficult to share anything really pipe-related. Same thing with YouTube. But through private platforms, I think people will be able to get the good content. It's just really trying to get people to do that. I'll still share it to Instagram. I just feel like the reach on there is tough these days with the when you're making the paraphernalias or the pipes for doing them fat dabos, you know. But either way, I'm gonna keep doing it. It's what I love to do. It's gonna be. I can't wait till like I get to that age where I'm like Bob Snodgrass, like in my like 70s or late 60s, just the old dude just making crazy pipes. Like that's like some. I don't know. I'm excited for all the decades of glass blowing, but that one especially because I feel like it's. I hope I can still do it then. It's gonna be sick. Just because I see that dude like being able to connect with all the different ages of generations, like different artists. I mean, like glassblowers from like 20 to 40 years old, all different generations like look up to that dude or like want to meet him and talk to him, tell him stories. Like I find that fucking wicked cool, and I can't wait till I can slow down a little bit and have more time like that. But I have a goal, and I have things I want to accomplish, and I have places I want to go with glass. And to do that, I got to work like an animal. It's very important. This is just the beginning. I looked like how I'm looking at Bear Mountain at this point is Bear Mountain 2.0 started in February of 2023 when we moved into this new studio. The 10 years that happened before that in my home studio was like the first expansion, if we're talking video games here. We're in the second X-Pack now, and we're building to something big. And something that I think is important about this, all of this, is that I want to focus more on the work and less on there's so many little random side projects I've been doing over the years that like are just like they're like things I wanted to do, and I feel like less of what the people who collect my work wanted. So now I'm just like, I want to focus on specifically because there's so many people that want to support. I need to make more of that glass for those people so they have something to support. You know what I'm saying? So I'm excited to share and show you all I'm doing. Next Sunday sale, it's not going to be for at least a few weeks. Probably we're looking at the mid to late, probably late September. We have a bunch of drops happening at stores all around the country. So if you're someone who prefers to shop in person, or if you want to pay cash for your products, you can go to our website and you can look at our list of licensed retailers, and you can see if you got a store near you or close enough to travel to, and see when their drop is or what they may have left from their previous drop. But we have a list of stores that, and the list keeps getting bigger, that will be basically licensed carriers of Bear Mountain Studios products that we're working on here. Because I think that possibly in the next 4 or 5 years, people are going to be over the internet. I don't know. It might be purely a functional tool and not a social thing. I think people might like going to brick and mortar again, or having their local spot again, more than just ordering or doing everything through the internet. Of course, it will have its place and it will have plenty of people to do it. But I think there's going to be a movement of a lot of people that are going to want to be kind of how it was maybe 10 or 20 years ago, where, you know, you bought places that you knew the people who worked there and they knew you, and real community that made you feel valued no matter where you lived. The internet can't give you that. It's real. You need real connection with people, and I think people are going to obsess over that. I think it's coming. But I hope you have a great day, and I'll see y'all next time. Thanks so much for chilling, and yeah, check out the website, sign up for our newsletter so you can stay up to date with everything, because I suck at promoting my shit. Thanks, everybody.